Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 246, 15 Minutes in Heaven, Testimony. Guest speaker Tim Murda shared this testimony on Sunday, March 6th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Brother Tim to come. I've had the privilege of having, three friends who have departed this life and come back to tell about it. I don't know, maybe that's kind of unique because it's not often that you run into someone who went and came back. Most of the time, you know, we just, in America, we just think, you know, you just, somebody dies, you put them in the casket and you bury them. But the reality is that some people do come back to life after that. I have two other friends besides Brother Tim that has had that experience. But this morning, you get to hear firsthand and see a person who actually has been to the other side. So I'm excited to hear. I've heard some of the testimony. I'm excited to hear again about what he experienced and how that's affected his life. Because the reality is life is short and we don't know really when our time is up. I mean, the reality is we just, you know, one day we're going to all go that way. And the point of it is you better be ready because oftentimes you don't get a second chance. So, but it's exciting to hear, you know, that of some of the things that people have observed during that period of time. So we welcome you to listen and open your hearts and let God touch you in a mighty way. So welcome, Brother Tim.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for being a part of this ministry. He's on our board of directors. And so we just, we're excited about what's ahead. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
Praise God. I think the moral of the story is if you get to know Pastor Harley, you might die. But you'll come back, right? I'm sorry, not to tease. So it's great to be here. And we joke about it now. It wasn't so funny at the time. But we do joke about it, my family, I mean. And Pastor Harley asked if I had a title for what we're going to share today. And so, you know, my mind, I start to think of titles like death, the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, how to change your marriage and your family in one easy step. You know? So we joke about these things. My family and I joke about it. But it's, you know, it's great to be here. And I just really appreciate my relationship with Pastor Harley and Karen. You know, the church is, and I mean the church universal, has a need for leaders. It has a need for solid teaching, has a need for relationship with the Lord. So many people have just left their relationship with the Lord and they're drifting through life. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to be tied in with Him. And if you don't do that, you're going to have difficulties in your life that you just didn't have to have. So praise God. So what happened to me? I don't know why it happened. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Father, I speak blessing over every person here and every person that's online watching this. Father, I pray that anything that I say, Father, that would encourage them, that you would take that and build on it, Father, by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do today and tomorrow. And Father, even as we, you know, as people watch this online in the future, use what I have to say for your kingdom and your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. So as I say, I don't know why what happened to me happened to me. I'm not sure. And I'm thankful that it didn't just stop, that I actually got to come back. But the date was April 19th. 2020, so it's coming up last year, actually, on the anniversary date. It's kind of strange because probably you have to wait to get to heaven to have your anniversary date of your death, but I got to have one here in Canada, at least. So, you know, I And the story of what happened really for me is it's personal, right? Which I suppose it should be for anyone. I haven't shared with a lot of people what happened, but it is a personal thing. And really, for the issue for me is more my life afterwards than the actual event. and we're all going to die unless you know we're taken in the rapture. So you're going to experience this potentially, and it's I'm not. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not, if you're going to heaven, that is. If you're not, I didn't go anyplace else, and I don't imagine that's very fun. But yeah, praise God, I'm thankful for it. Yeah. So you know, but it's going to happen, and you know, dying is really easy to do. Sometimes the process can be not very fun, but the actual the actual moment of when you pass is literally like walking through a doorway, and you were here and now you're there, and it's that quick. You know, now I've watched lots of stories online of people's testimonies that have, because I became interested in it, people's testimonies of dying and coming back. All Pastor Harley's friends, of course. Yeah, he knows them all. So you really got to be careful if you get to know him, or get to know him and you might have, you know. But anyway, I watched different experiences, and many of them are similar, and there's, you know, there are some differences, but many of them are similar. But it's all, you know, it's all exciting. It's everything you read in your Bible is true. Amazing. Did you ever think about that? Everything you read about the Bible or in the Bible is true about heaven. It actually is. And that's what I experienced. And I'm grateful, my wife Charmaine says, don't repeat yourself. So I'll try not to repeat myself, but you'll have to forgive me if I do. My life since then has changed. I'm pre-death was, I like to think I was okay. But since then, there's been a change in my priorities. My wife is very important to me, and my family is very important to me. And I'm going to do this without becoming emotional if I can, but they're very important to me much more. I mean, they were before, but you know what? It's not the same, today. And so my story is about family, about priorities, second chances when you don't normally get one. Normally you don't, die and then come back. At least, how many have died and come back? Okay, well, we got one. You must know Pastor Harley. You do, yeah. Praise God. You know, and my story, I'm thankful because I got to come back. And it's also about something that I know, and I had when I was there, I had a sense of it, but it's even stronger now, that there's something that I did not earn, and I couldn't have earned, and you don't realize it, and maybe you won't until you get there, but you'll realize that there's no way that you earned this place, or this opportunity. You just didn't. It was left or right, and you chose right, which was to receive Jesus as your Savior. And so that's even more so after the fact. But when I was there, there's a lot of strange things. Like I realized I didn't have my wallet with me, which is kind of funny, eh? I don't think that they take Visa anyway or cash. A not so strange thing is realizing that I didn't earn it. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 8 says, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There's no release from that war. So when the time comes, what that means is when that time comes, you don't have ability to choose what's going to happen. It's going to happen. And while I was there, I had made no choices. I didn't choose to stand. I didn't choose to turn. I'm sure when we all get there, you'll have those choices. But I didn't choose to go. I went. And I didn't have power over my spirit to retain the spirit. It was just happening. And you know, in one sense, it's like I was just along for the ride. And you know, there's also two perspectives to what happened with my story. There's the perspective, my perspective, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't there anymore. I was someplace else. And then there's my family's perspective, because they were there. And you know, it's, we'll share things back and forth. And it's all, I need to say this too, it's also affected my home. It affected my oldest son, Zechariah, who was with me at the time. It affected Charmaine, my wife. And then my daughter was actually here in the U.S. and was on the phone with Charmaine when it happened. So it's affected everyone, but in a different way, but all in a positive way. Praise God, and I'm thankful for that. So let me tell you my story. So April 19th, we're COVID is happening. And what had happened, you know, it was, I had gone for a walk. We had walking trails and, you know, contrary to popular belief, we don't need sled dogs to walk, you know, in the summer, but we can actually walk on grass and pavement. I had gone for a walk, and I'll just back up a bit. I'd gone for a walk and came back to the house. Our house, we have a library in our home. And praise God, our home is sold. So it makes it a lot easier to move when your house is sold. I went for my walk, came back and sat in the library with Charmaine. And we had a discussion. And it was probably, you know, I don't know, an hour, maybe 2 hours that we were talking. And we have two chairs in our library, and then across. So we have a chair here and a chair there, and that's where we were sitting. She was in this one, I was in that one. And then we have a couch across the room underneath a window. So just to give you an idea of what the, you know, the context was. So after we had talked for however long, Matea, my daughter, had been texting Charmaine and said, she said, I gotta phone her back. So we were finished talking and you know how moms do that. It's, I can do this later. And then finally you got to deal with it. I guess we all do that with text messages, don't we? Isn't that the great thing about text messages? You can deal with it when you want to and when you have time. So she got up and left the room. And just before she left through, my oldest son, Zechariah, he's 28 years old now, he came into the room and sat on that couch across the room. And the curtains were open, so, you know, it was bright with the window behind him. But he sat down, and then we did the, you know, the normal thing that we do as human beings. We both grabbed our phones and we did this. Right. So he was on the couch and sitting there. I was still in that same chair. And I was actually on Facebook. You know, Facebook will kill you. Yeah. And probably other social media will too, but I know Facebook, it will kill you. Yeah. Praise God. So I was scrolling on, you know, on Facebook. And I had my phone, you know, down like this and doing my thing. And as I was scrolling, I began to, something happened. I didn't feel right. And oh my gosh, I don't feel good at all. And I looked up at Zechariah and I said, oh my God, I don't feel good. Well, he didn't hear that, but I said it. And when I said it, and I'll try to be chronological, and I want to kind of go back and forth between what they were dealing with and what happened to me. But when I said that, he looked up at me and my head went back and my eyes rolled back in my head, and I stopped moving. Well, you know, that's quite a thing to see for your child to see. So, so even though I said, I don't feel good, he never heard that. All he heard was me say something. I think he heard me say, oh my God. And so he looked at me to see me roll my head back. And, he immediately jumped up, you know, Dad, what's going on? You know, whatever he said. And then Charmaine has left the room already, remember? And so she had left the room. Everything happens. Zechariah then yelled, Mom! And went to the other room to get her. They came running back into the room. It would have been so much better if they could have shared, because they remember more of the details. But they came running back into the room. And when they came into the room, you have a hallway, you come down the hallway, and then you turn into our library. And when Charmaine turned in to the library, I was, you know, I'm not going to do it for you, but head back, you know, my eyes were rolled back, my mouth was open. And when she came in, she said, there's something wrong. It's weird. But she didn't pay attention to it. And she immediately came over to me and began praying for me. So this isn't so much about Tim. This is more about Charmaine, in my opinion. But she came and began praying for me, praying in the Holy Ghost, whatever. And my wife, Charmaine, prays a lot. Praise God, she prays a lot. So that was her first reaction, was to pray. And she would hold my head, and she would pray in the Holy Ghost, and she would command me to come back. And just whatever came to her mind, that's what she began to, very forcefully too. So Zechariah has then run to the phone in the kitchen, and he's called 911. So all this is going on, and you know, it's, you can imagine it's quite, you know, they're kind of high strung, right, at the time. And of course, Matea had been on the phone with Charmaine. So when Matea is my daughter, when Zechariah yelled for her, she just, I gotta go. And she tossed the phone, and that was it. And then Matea began to pray, obviously. So Charmaine is praying for me, and, Pastor Harley asked how long I was gone. And, you know, it's hard to tell because I'm going by feelings, and they were too. So Charmaine was looking through her phone. This took me so long to reply, because she was looking, trying to figure out some of the timeline there. But she has a new phone. So we're guessing it's, you know, it's less than 10 minutes. It felt like less than 10 minutes probably, but more than five. So I wasn't there for hours and hours. If I had, I probably wouldn't have wanted to come back. But anyway, so that's what's happening in the library. And so let's go back to what's happening to me. When I said that I don't feel good to Zechariah, I looked up at him, and I actually looked at the window behind him, and then everything became white. And I want to say it's like a fog, but it wasn't like a fog that blows. It just, everything became white in front of my eyes. And when if y'all take your hands like this and just go in front of your eyes like that, and you can't see, and then separate them, that's what happened to me. Everything became white, and then it left. And when it left, I was elevated somewhere, and I was coming, it was moving really fast. I don't know how fast, but I was moving really fast. And it was like Superman, you know, how he can fly. I didn't have the S on my chest, but I was still, I think, flying. So as I looked down, and I was moving very quickly, there was a group of people over here to the left, and I came straight down, and then there was another person. So they were just to the left of my center, and this other person was just right of my center. And this group of people is where I'm, I, I'm just going to say I landed. So they were there before I got there. And they stayed there until I left. So obviously they knew I was coming. But they stayed there, or they were there when I did this. And it was that quick, and I was there. There was no sense of momentum. You know, when you're driving your car too fast around a corner and you kind of, you know, sway. There was no sense of that. There was no sudden stop. It was just there, and I was standing in front of them. I don't know who they were, not yet. I've asked the Lord to let me remember, you know, more details, and I have remembered more. But and eventually I will, because I asked him, he'll tell me, or he'll let me remember. So I've landed, and I'm standing in front of them, and I have no recollection of having just been in the library. No thought of my family, no thought of my house that I was, no thought of anything. It's like nothing else existed. I was just there, and everything was about being there, and I began a conversation with these people, with the person. Now, the person that's, everything was bright and white, but I don't know, I can't see any, you remember any details of what was beyond where we were standing. But this, the person here, and I don't know who it was, but the person in front of me that was, you, and I know it was a he was very bright, but it didn't hurt my eyes. And these people were bright, but there was movement over here, and there was a brown color. And that brown color, which I realized later, the brown color was them turning their heads and looking at me and then looking at that person as I was speaking to him. So I would say something, and they would look at me, and he would say something, and they would look at him. And one of them was, and I don't know why I know, but one of them was a lady, you know, kind of freaks you out. But she was, I can see her looking at whoever I was speaking to, and then she turned and looked at me right in the eye. And then she turned away again. So this is what's going on. I didn't feel like I was someplace I didn't belong. Have you ever been, you know, and whenever I tell this story, I think of the airport in Toronto. There's a hallway that you walk through when you're going through, I think it's through immigration, and it's just literally a big hallway, and it's for authorized personnel, or you'll see doorways that say authorized personnel only. So can you imagine and we've all seen those doors, right? So can you imagine if you went and opened one of those doors and went in and closed the door, how would you feel? I'm going to get caught. You know, I'm someplace I don't belong. Well, there was no sense of that at all. I also felt more at home there than I do in my own home, which is weird to say. But I was more at home there, someplace I'd never been, than I was sitting in my own house. Even in those two chairs that we were sitting in, those are the favorite chairs in the house. But I was more at home there than I was sitting in that chair. So I didn't feel like I was there for a long time, but I was there for a while. And likewise, when I was speaking to the conversing with these people, I don't think I was using my mouth. I said to Charmaine afterwards, when I told her what happened, I said, I just said I was communicating with someone. And she said, well, just say you're talking to them. You know, so I was talking to them, but I don't think I was actually speaking with my mouth like I am now. Which again is strange, right? Because we can't do that here. Can you read my mind? No. Right? But if that's what was happening, then I guess that's what was happening. So as I was there in this conversation, I was very, very intent on whatever we were talking about. And I can't tell you what we were talking about, because I'm not sure. But it was a very deep conversation. You ever been in a really deep conversation? Maybe with a friend or husband, you know, wife. You're in just one of those conversations and everything else just falls away because you're intent on what you're discussing. Well, that's what was going on. I was very, very involved in what we were talking about. So for however long this went on, most of my discussion was with this person that was so bright. Although I believe I may have said something to these folks to decide. There was more than two and less than 10 people standing there, but I can't tell you how many. So as we were talking, of course, remembering I have no recollection of the earth. I have no recollection of having just been in the library, none of that stuff. But as I was talking to this person in front of me, suddenly something interrupted me. And have you back to the conversation analogy, you've been at a conversation, maybe at a party or maybe in church, and you're really intent, and then another person comes behind and interrupts you and says, "Hey, Tim," you know, or "Pastor Harley," and then, "Well, what?" And that's what happened to me. I was talking to him, and something I heard, obviously, I heard something, and I turned like this and looked back. I didn't move my feet, I just turned and looked back, and I was irritated because I was interrupted. You ever been interrupted? It's like, give me a break. What are you doing? Can you not see that I'm involved in something here? So that's how I felt. I was irritated. Like, what? And when I looked back, and when I looked to see what it was, and when I looked, turned my attention back to the people there, I immediately left. And I went exactly the way that I came. The same trajectory, the same speed. And I didn't say goodbye. I just left. And I had no control over what I was doing. You know, I didn't choose to go and I didn't choose to leave. And they stayed there until I left. They didn't move, and no one crossed, you know, from my left to the right or vice versa. No one got tired of standing there. I stood there. You ever been standing on your feet for a long time? You just get tired. So you shift your weight, right, from one to the other. Well, that's not going to happen in heaven. You're not going to get tired. Your feet don't get sore. And if you're going to stand and listen, yeah, if you're going to stand and listen to someone in a conversation, you can stand as long as you want. You're not going to get tired. So they didn't shift their weight. This, you know, the person in front of me didn't, and I didn't. I didn't need to. So back to the interruption. I'm interrupted. What? And it ticked me off. But and when I turned back, I immediately left. The same speed, the same everything, just in reverse to my arrival. And as I left, and I can see them still standing there, I left, and when I got to a certain height, everything became white again. It's like you took your hands and put them over your eyes and became white, and then that white cloud, we'll call it, dissipated, and here's Charmaine standing in front of me. And I said, "You interrupted me." But she didn't hear that. All she heard was me speaking in tongues. So I know I said it, but she didn't hear that. Just like Zechariah before, when I said, "I don't feel good," he didn't hear me say, "I don't feel good." I said it, but I wasn't there already. So I'm surprised. What is Charmaine doing in the library? Because she left the library. And when I was there, I had no thought of the earth or the library or my family, nothing. But when I came back, I had no thought of having just been there. And I don't know if that's normal. I don't know if it's just because, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's if I had been there longer, then I would have probably thought about the earth. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So they probably pay attention to us, right? They see what's going on with your life. I don't know if they have binoculars and look at us, but they're aware, right? So they are aware. So I'm surprised. Here's Charmaine, and I'm still sitting in the chair. And when I came back, I took a huge breath. And she's later on, we all compared notes, and she said, "You took a huge breath when you came back." And I said, "Yeah, that's right. I remember that." And Zechariah, remember, he had gone to phone 911. So our house, our main floor is fairly large. So we're in the library. So you go out down the hallway and down through the kitchen. So he's probably 80 or 90 feet away from me through some rooms. And he heard me take this breath from the kitchen. So I take this breath, and here's Charmaine in front of me, and I'm confused, and I feel terrible. You know, I just did not feel good at all. I was hot, and I started to sweat, and I soaked my clothes, and I was weak, and I couldn't move. And she's in front of me, and she's got my head in her hands, and she's praying really loud in tongues and telling me to come back and all these things. And I, what is she doing to me? She's gone, and now she's here, and I feel terrible, and I'm sweating, and I'm weak. I could hardly, you know, have you ever been so sick that it's hard just to open your eyes? You know, and it takes effort. Well, that's what it was like. I could hardly open my eyes, and I actually said, "You're hurting me," because she was really, you know, aggressive. But anyway, so she eventually stopped. She left. I don't know why she left the room, and then Zechariah came back in. So I'm sitting in the chair the whole time. You know, I'm sitting in the chair, and he comes back in, and he has 911 on the phone. So they asked a bunch of questions. Can get him to do this? You know, can he? I remember, get him to lift his arms. Okay, so I can lift my arms, and get him to do, you know, move his leg. Get him to, you know, do whatever, and answer these questions. So they said, okay, well, he hasn't had a stroke. You know, he hasn't had this and he hasn't had that. But they dispatched an ambulance, and so I'm in a state of feeling really, really gross and confused, and that state of confusion and feeling ill lasted for, you know, for some time. The ambulance shows up. Two young ladies came. They did. They got an IV going. Of course, they're thinking, did he die of COVID? Well, it wasn't COVID. I didn't die of COVID. And of course, then they weren't thinking that I died either. And Charmaine at the time wasn't thinking of that as well. But they I had wires running everywhere. They did, I think it's ECG or EKG, yeah, that thing. So they did that. One of them, and they were wearing masks, so I couldn't pick them out of a crowd today. But and then they checked my temperature, and this is, you know, just a interesting thing. But they checked my temperature, and you know, it's those they just kind of point it in your ear or whatever they do. And she looked at it and said, "Oh, this isn't working. You know, that's not working." And they continued going. I'm guessing they were probably there for 45 minutes or so. And then later on, they checked my temperature again. And it was like, what's normal? Is it 97? 98.6? Yeah, so it was like 95 or something really low, you know, which didn't make sense to me because I was sweating so bad. But the second time they checked, Charmaine saw what it was. And if I had my, I won't look it up, but I have the notes of what it read. So, you know, they're going to take me to the hospital, and they said, "Mr. Murda, you are very sick." Like, yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, I can't lift. I don't want to lift my arms. By this time, my second youngest son Josiah was there, and Charmaine made them. You know, they were parked outside on the street, and they brought the you know, the gurney, and it's on wheels. And I said, no, you can't bring that in the house. so then these girls were going to carry me out, but the boys were there, so like the boys can carry me. So they got under one under each arm, and I kind of shuffled me out to this gurney, put me in the ambulance, and away we went. And of course, keep in mind, I'm weak and I don't even want to open my eyes. Although I did a few times, but I know the route to the hospital because we have kids. So I know the route, and we've been there a few times, and I could just in my mind, I knew where we were, and they wheeled me into the emergency room and started working on me. So they were running tests, and they took blood and all the medical things that they were doing. So I and I'm not feeling any better. So this happened, probably the beginning of it happened around 6-ish in the evening. When I left, Charmaine phoned Pastor Harley, which was 7:29 p.m., and asked him to pray, told him what was going on. And I believe that you contacted folks here in the church to pray. Who prayed for me? Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, appreciate it. So, let's tell jokes. It's easier. Anyway, so 7:30, I'm off to the hospital, and we arrived. I've never seen the hospital so clean. You know, it was great. And there's nobody there. You know, so you got the whole staff, they're just concerned about you. So I had doctors and nurses, and they're all gowned up. And then every time they left the room, they had to, you know, change again. And come when they came back in the doorway, they had to gown up. So, I mean, you're feeling, they're treating you pretty special. But I, you know, probably got to the hospital about, 7:30 we left the house. So by 7:45, I'm in the hospital room in the emergency. And I just sat there or laid there. I had wires running everywhere and, you know, the little sticky tabs that they put on you. And answering questions, you know, from the hospital staff would ask you something and you'd reply. But as I was there, eventually, you know, I don't know what time it was, but I started to feel better. And of course, you guys are praying, but I started feeling better. And by 9 o'clock, you know, I opened my eyes and I could look around and, you know, I was still a little weak, but I wasn't feeling too bad. And I thought, you know, I need to phone Charmaine and let her know what's going on, because they weren't allowed to come with me. So they had to stay home. And, so it was, I would have to check my phone logs, but, you know, between 9 and 10, I'm thinking I need to call her. And so finally I called her and said, hey, this is, and the doctor's come in and he's talked to me. And and the longer I'm there, the better I'm feeling. Now, they didn't give me any medication that I'm aware of, but I'm feeling better. And so I phoned Charmaine and I said, you know, this is what they've said. And by this time, you know, I'm laying there. I've laid there for a couple hours just thinking about what's happened, and now I'm remembering what happened. And I thought, do I tell Charmaine or not? Because it's kind of weird, right? Do I say something? And so I said to her, I said, I went someplace and I was talking to somebody. And then she thought, oh, that's why. When I walked in the room, she says, when she walked in the room in the library and saw me there, it's like there was nobody in the room. It's because I wasn't in the room. My body was in the room, but I wasn't. And that was that weird feeling that she had, you know, because we're sensitive. We're born again. We're sensitive in our spirits. So then she realized that he was dead. And that's why she was commanding me to come back. Because he was really commanding me to come back. Praise God. So by, you know, 10 o'clock, they had one more test to do. I guess if you have a heart attack, they take blood several times, and if it's it'll show up in the blood within the first few hours or something like that. And it came back good, you know, it didn't have a heart attack. So the doctor came in and said, you know, I've ordered some test for you, but you know, you're fine. You can go home if you want. And by that time, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I didn't feel any different then than I do now. So I said, okay, great. And I got up and thanked him, and I walked out. My son came and picked me up, Josiah, and drove me home. So as you can imagine, you know, how does that change your life? Well, you know, death, the best way to change your life. That would be a good title. You know, it's affected Zechariah for, I don't know, for days, at least days. He wouldn't, at our kitchen table, I sit on one end and he sits on the other end, but he wouldn't sit there because he had to look at me. Because he was there when it happened. So it affected him, right? And among, you know, there's other ways too. Charmaine, you know, she was in the moment. It's affected her. It's affected me. It's affected everybody. And, you know, one of the strange, have I talked too long yet? One of the strange things for me since then is, you know, you've all seen movies, or we have loved ones that pass, or you hear in the news someone's died. So it's strange, but when I hear that now, it's okay. Well, I know what happens to them, and by experience, you know, I know what happened, and they're fine. You know, they're okay. If they're born again, they're okay, for sure. I didn't share this. The last time I shared this was with some young people in our home, but I didn't tell them this. But, you know, I like looking at the sky. I like looking at stars at night. And sometimes I'll look at the stars when you can see them. And I'll look at a star and I'll think, how far did I go? You know, did I go that far? You know, where did I go? Now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm assuming that I went to heaven. There were no signs that said, welcome to heaven. But I'll assume, for the sake of argument, that that's where I went. But I'll look at stars and I'll think, how far did I go? You know, the next, you know, probably couple weeks after this event, I was very emotional. I would cry at the drop of a hat. I would cry thinking about my family and how close I was to not being there anymore. I've got four children. So Zechariah is the oldest, and then Matea, my daughter, and then Josiah, and then our youngest just turned 10. His name is Jediah. And the thought of not being there for Jediah and not seeing, Josiah anymore. And, you know, all of that stuff was very emotional to me. I had a concern for the neighbors on our street. Up till that point, I didn't really care about them in the same way. But I had a concern for their salvation like I'd never had before. So I was compelled. I had to go to we have some folks from China that are next door to us. And so I had to go, and they saw the ambulance, asked how things were. I said, you know, I need to come over tomorrow and let you know what happened. So I went over, and I didn't expect them to kneel and pray, but I needed to tell them what happened and share the gospel with them. So I did that. But, you know, I would be in the shower and just cry for a long time. I didn't want to drive a vehicle because I was scared this would happen again and I might kill somebody in an accident. I didn't want to leave Charmaine's side, so I followed her around the house because if it happened again, I know why it came back. You know, I'm not dumb. You know, when we first got married, we said to each other, and maybe everyone does it, but we said, you know, if you ever die, I'm bringing you back. And she said to me, if you ever die, I'm bringing you back. And she did that. And if she was here, she would say, it wasn't me, but it was. we understand it's the Lord, right? It was whatever. But I didn't want to leave the room where she was in, because if it happened again, you know, I didn't want to drive. I certainly didn't want to drive with my youngest son, because I didn't want something bad to happen. So it took a while before I could just, you know, go for. I remember going for the first drive, being concerned, and really paying attention to how I felt. You know, do I feel okay? Can I do this? Okay, it's okay. So then you do it again, and you do it again, and now it's fine. But yeah, so we've all been affected. My marriage has been affected. My kids have been affected, all in a positive way. And you know, I think I'm a nicer person than I was before. And I'm just really thankful that I got to come back. You know, you don't always get to come back. If you hang out with Pastor Harley enough, you'll die and you'll come back. But for the rest of you, you know, I'm very thankful. And you know, everything that you, let me back it up. Your relationship with the Lord is so important. And it's not just important for yourself. It's important for other people. This is not just about you. This is not just and it's not just about your family, but it's about a lot of other people in your life, and maybe not even in your life. Maybe you don't even know them. Those of you that were praying for me, you'd never met me before. But if you didn't have a relationship with the Lord and you believed his word, you probably wouldn't have prayed for me like you did. You know, maybe you wouldn't have. But it's important to have a relationship with the Lord, and to keep that relationship current and to keep it strong. Can you say amen? Let's pray one more time, and then I'm going to turn it back to Pastor Harley. Father, I thank you. Thank you for what you did in my life. And Father, I thank you for allowing me to come back, allow me to be with my family, and experience all the things that we've experienced over the last almost 2 years since this has happened. So, Father, in thanking you for that, I also thank you for every person here. And, Father, I pray that you'll move in the lives, not only in my father's house, every person in my father's house that calls this their church home, but, Father, move in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And, Father, move in Indiana. And Father, every state in the U.S. and around the world, Father, I believe that you want to do a great work on the earth before we leave this place. And so, Father, I pray that that takes place. And Father, we say, use us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.